Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, and I'm reading today from The Scarlet Threads. It's part four. We're talking about a mystery that the Bible calls Babylon. Mystery Babylon, mystery comma Babylon in Revelation. It's often those two words are put together sometime when they really shouldn't be, but it is a mystery known as Babylon the Great, and it can be traced all the way through the Old Testament, all the way through the New Testament, and on into history, and even down to our day. There is a power in the world that has received from the power before it the high priesthood of the satanic kingdom. And that was passed on to the popes by the Roman emperors. At one point, the Roman emperor said, I can't wear these titles. I can't get into this, because the Roman emperor had become a Christian. But there was living in that city Pope Damasus, who said, I'll take that title on myself. I'll take those mysteries on myself. And from that day on, it's been passed on. It's still there. And it's going to be more of a thing in your life one of these days. It's not as big a thing today, but you'll see what I'm talking about, I think, in days to come. Section 54 in part 4, Our Lady. Now, in every part of this story so far, we've run across what Ken Samples called the Cult of the Virgin. In 1992, Ken wrote a book by that title, which summarizes well the issue before us, the cult of the Virgin. I want to share that summary before I introduce the apparition of Fatima. I want to weave Ken's writings with my own comments in the following paragraphs. It's no longer appropriate, I believe, to say that Catholics over-exalt Mary and Protestants just under-exalt her. In fact, we're never told to exalt or honor her in that way in Scripture. She certainly knew that all nations would call her blessed, and so she was. But no express command comes from God to venerate her. What we see in the world today is the same worship of the, quote, lady as has been common since the days immediately following Nimrod. Though there was a lull in lady worship shortly after Vatican II to help draw in Protestants, we're now experiencing a revival of the cult that is alarming, and it should be. Whence the doctrines of Mary in the Church? Well, in 451 AD, Mary is defined by the Church of that day as Theotokos, the God-bearer. Later, she's called the Mother of God. Though at first a shocking title, this one is at least logically defensible, since Jesus is God. Elizabeth calls Mary the Mother of my Lord, Mother of God, in Luke 1:43. We get that one, although we understand that that's not very clear when you're using that term. Seldom mentioned, though, is Jesus' own response to her as an equal among all the believers. Absolutely no prominence is given her by any Bible author. Not one word about her after the book of Acts. Now, in AD 553, at the Second Council of Constantinople, she's called ever virgin. And right here, Rome is clearly in error. Comes against the scriptures that she claims to be passing on. The Greek word adelphos, brother, is always used when referring to the male relatives of Christ. Although footnotes in Catholic translations have changed the word to cousin, it's necessary to point out that there is a Greek word for cousin, namely anepsios, as in Colossians 4:10. This is deceit. Call it nothing else. Mary was a virgin until Jesus was born. After that, Joseph took unto himself his lovely bride, and with her had children, the brothers and sisters of Jesus. You see, each deception builds on the past ones. Mother of God, that's questionable, but ever virgin, that's wrong. Well, if those two are true, she must have had an immaculate conception. That is, she must have been spared original sin. At least that's what we're told. Aquinas and Bonaventure and Peter Lombard, to name a few, opposed this heresy on biblical grounds. That's right, Thomas Aquinas was against the Immaculate Conception doctrine. Biblical grounds were buried, though, by John Duns Scotus, 1264 to 1308, but even he did not convince the entire church of his day. And finally, in 1854, the doctrine was defined by Pope Pius IX. So officially, the church taught nothing about this doctrine for its first 1800 years. Mary was indeed highly favored, graced, if you will, and was chosen to be so for God's special purpose. She was a willing, obedient servant who, like John the Baptist, was full of the Holy Ghost, equipped for the task. But like John and all others before the cross and all of us after the cross, she was made of flesh. She was imperfect before a holy God. She needed a Savior. And we, like her, are filled with God's grace. If she was conceived without sin, certainly death could not hold her, reasons the Roman Catholic mind later. And in the 5th century, to help this reasoning along, a document written by a supposed apostle begins to circulate. It has no historical validity, but people begin to believe it. It talks of Mary's assumption into heaven, which is remarkably like the original ladies of paganism. The teaching kind of lays quiet among the Catholic nations for over 1,000 years, and until the latter 19th and early 20th centuries, a campaign begins to have this teaching accepted as from God. It's an interesting way of doing business in the church, don't you think? From among the people, there's a stirring which the hierarchy must decide upon. Is this humanism or what? 8 million lay people, I hate that word, but that's what they're called, and 1 million, quote, religious people vote the assumption in. And so Pope Pius XII, in 1950, in my lifetime, knowing his political base is solid, says, yes, God really wants us to believe that Mary ascended to heaven just like Jesus, body, soul, and spirit. Through the years, building on these falsehoods, Rome has termed Mary the co-redemptrix, since she assented to the birth of Jesus who died for us, the mediatrix, who makes her son more open to our prayers, the dispensatrix, who gives to us what Jesus gives to her for us, and the intercessatrix, who goes to Christ on our behalf. I didn't make up those words. That's what she's called. In other words, listen to me. Everything Jesus is, Mary is. And my heart hurts to speak those words. How far can this go? Jerome's Vulgate translation renders Genesis 3:15 in the feminine gender. She shall bruise your head. Mary is called the neck through which everything from Christ to the body of Christ flows, and on and on and on. Well, refresh yourself in the scripture a moment before you read on. Rome notwithstanding, there still is only one God. Well, you knew that, but only one mediator between God and man. Did you know that? Of course you did. That's what God said, and it's the man, Christ Jesus. There's no one else between us. Mary is blessed? Well, those who hear and keep the word of God are blessed more, said Jesus. but don't make a statue of me, please. When I die, I'll be with Jesus, but my body won't meet my spirit until yours does. And I'll not be visiting you in ghost fashion. Necromancy is forbidden by my God, you know, dealing with the dead, as supposedly Mary deals with people. Do you realize that this one that's called Queen of Heaven, as were the Assyrian and Babylonian goddesses, this one would have to be omniscient and omnipresent to hear all the prayers addressed to her. These are attributes of deity. You've heard of the weeping statues of Mary? If Mary really is weeping right now, the real Mary, it's because of all that's being claimed in her name. She has supposedly appeared over 200 times since the 1930s. 32 different countries. That's as of the 1990s. I don't know what it would be today. Some say there have been over 20,000 sightings of her throughout history. In 1531, Guadalupe, Mexico, she told Juan Diego to tell the bishop to build her a sanctuary, which he did in 1533. Why the bishop was not informed directly, we aren't told. In 1709 and in 1976, basilicas were built to honor that event. That's Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico. 1858, Lourdes, France. One Bernadette Soubirous receives 18 apparitions which instruct her to pray, especially the rosary, to walk on her knees, to eat grass, and of course get the message to someone that a chapel is to be built in her honor. Do you remember Peter after the Mount of Transfiguration? He said, let's build three tabernacles. Jesus ignores him. The holy temple that Jesus once built in honor, in his honor, is you. We don't build tabernacles to people. In Bernadette's 16th revelation, the apparition identifies itself. I am the Immaculate Conception. Pardon the masculine voice there. It was Mary speaking, supposedly. Here was a convenient confirmation of the heretical dogma that had been defined by the church only 4 years earlier. So the Pope and this apparition are in league. I am the Immaculate Conception. Well, all of that brings us to 1916. And the world is made to focus once more on Mystery Babylon via some occurrences in Portugal. Yeah, you think I'm making some of this up? Not a bit of it. I'm underplaying, if possible, the evil that has been perpetrated on this world and on the church for all these many years. That's all we have time for today. We'll stop right there. I'm sorry I didn't get to Fatima exactly. But we will, next time, Lord willing, and I do hope you'll be here when we start this. Thank you so much for being here all this time. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun, and Lord willing, we'll talk again real soon. Bye-bye.